Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets.
It's all about the Badgers.
Go Badgers!
Go Badgers!
Go Badgers!
Games like this is what really separates college football from everything else.
Open up the history books. Here comes Rondé.
That was J.J. Watt, and what a story this young man is.
Guarded again! What a performance by Melvin Gordon!
And the pass rush gets home for the Badgers.
Camp Randall lets it roar.
An unrivaled fan base. The best college sports town in the world. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
We scored! For the first time in 15 quarters, Wisconsin has scored a touchdown. The Badgers do fall 21-7 to Oregon in Eugene. Our pregame show was in Oregon. And it's sad to say this, but that score, that final score, the score in the fourth quarter from Hunter Simmons to Lance Mason, it's sad to say this, but that was enough to make us happy.
It was.
That brought me joy.
Yes, I was so happy. And, you know, most of the game I just felt, well, I guess at the start, you know, we were kind of optimistic. We were like, okay,
we're hanging
defense
around.
Is really hanging in there. At what point, maybe cloaked Luke Fickell is a different animal.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to put something over the vest, and this team has a different moxie to it. So we had that hope. And then Oregon scored at the end of the half. They scored to start the half. And it's like, okay, we're going to lose a snooze fest, whatever. But then we scored a touchdown, finally, for the first time in 15 quarters. There's something to cheer about. And I heard, I need to hear the Matt LePay call, because we had multiple, one of my friends texted me, Jim Polzine tweeted about it, that it was the most emphatic,
apparently he went nuts,
touchdown Wisconsin call ever. I need to hear that call. And I was fired up. My reaction's out on Twitter. I didn't know you were filming me, Corey.
Oh, I had to.
Until afterwards.
You were locked in. I was like, I have to see what his reaction's going to be.
I was so happy. And then, what happens? Immediately after, I finally get to taste some joy when it comes to watching Wisconsin football. What happens?
Get some more stale gum, back to our analogy from a couple weeks ago.
Yes, yeah. The defense stops Oregon. Awesome. You know what? Are they going to win this game? No, but hey, maybe you get a crazy touchdown, onside kick. At
one
least
possession game.
You can make them scared. You can make it interesting. And what happens? Hunter Simmons back to throw. Whistles it over the middle. Oh, it's right to an Oregon defender.
Off his chest.
Is anyone surprised?
That was bad.
No, not at all.
It's tough.
Wisconsin quarterbacks have been an absolute joke for the past three seasons, and we have not had a worse iteration than Hunter Simmons. And I didn't think that was possible.
No.
After Braden Locke. Especially, there are so many parallels to last year's Oregon game. I believe the stat line was pretty similar for Simmons and Locke. And last year, one of the big talking points was, man, if Wisconsin just had Tyler Van Dyke, if they just had a quarterback, they beat Oregon.
Yeah.
And today, I don't think they beat Oregon. They would have had a shot to beat Oregon.
They would have had a passing game. We had to run the ball the entire game until
Gideon,
the underthrow.
Gideon Atuka looked great.
Great game.
He fought his butt off. A lot of the young guys today played really well, and we'll talk more about that later. But Hunter Simmons, man, how could you be worse than Braden Locke? There's no semblance of competency.
I'm going to be fair, and we'll talk about...
That might be harsh, but...
we'll talk about where Hunter Simmons came from. If you're just diving into the season, Wisconsin's really had the national spotlight on them for all the wrong reasons the last few weeks. They went 15 quarters without a touchdown. That streak is over. We'll dive into the offense. We'll dive into the fact that this team fought with a lot of effort today.
Mm-hmm.
And this was more impressive than the Michigan game for me. I don't know if you'd agree with that.
Yes.
I feel like this was their best group of four performance of this year. At least. We'll dive into a lot of things, for sure. But this is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day. We are on the ESPN Madison and Milwaukee YouTube channels. We're live on 100.5 ESPN Madison in the new customizable ESPN Wisconsin app. My name is Corey Sparks. I'm joined by Riley Yauch. Owen Dimfel is producing here at the Everlight Solar Studios in Madison. And ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day is presented by Coors Light. When you need to refresh on game day, choose a beer that's as cold as the Rockies, cold filtered, cold lagered, and cold packaged for peak refreshment. When the mountains are blue, you know what to do, Riley.
And that's crush a Coors Light.
2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. what a game might be a bit strong, but way to hang in there is probably more how we're feeling right now. 21-7 is the final. We do want to hear from you. 844-770-3776 is the Cardless ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. Lists is more. You can go into the ESPN Madison and Milwaukee YouTube channels, go into the live chat, and chime in. I immediately love this. We have ShanKing101D4V saying, never thought I'd say I miss Braden Locke, but...
You're not alone.
Yeah?
Braden Locke gives him a better chance at winning this
game. He pushes the ball
down
the field. He makes a couple suspect throws.
Yes. Does he make very poor decisions? Yes, but he actually showed some flashes of talent. We were talking about this during the game, the difference between Danny O'Neill and Hunter Simmons and why I think we would have liked to see Danny O'Neill a little bit. Like, Danny O'Neill makes true sophomore young quarterback mistakes.
But you still
see
the potential.
Poor decisions.
Right.
But there's talent there and potential. Hunter Simmons is, I believe, a redshirt senior, transfer from SIU. He just doesn't have it, man.
No.
He does not have the talent.
Yeah, as a
senior. He's a tall, a big guy. He's got a good prototypical quarterback build, and he can't hit a target to save his life. And this is the second straight year we've played a top 10 team where their backup quarterback has come in, and Badgers fans are like, man, I wish I had that guy on my team. Brock Thomas, what are you doing next or 2 weeks from now?
Yeah.
Whenever they end up playing Washington, whenever that time slot is.
Yeah, you're free, buddy. So that was the bad, right?
Yes.
This team had no passing game. Hunter Simmons at one point was 1-for-13, and the stats just got more and more ridiculous when you do a little math and go, oh, as many incompletions as passing yards. You don't see that every day or even once in a season.
No, not really.
Filled up the stat sheet towards the end, and it's eerily similar, actually, to what we saw from Braden Locke. We have a lot to cover. We're going to go over Max Letter. This is the first time we've had the postgame show since that came out earlier last week. I do want to have a Carter Smith conversation. You could probably understand why. We'll talk a bit about Braden Locke and whether or not he wins this game. We have a new game we're going to play towards the end of this first hour called Better Than Bucky, Riley. I'm excited for this, especially after this team did show some fight today against the number six team in the country. We'll see if they're still the number six team in the country after this because we hung around for a while. But I'm going to pick four different teams around college football and see if you believe they are better, worse, or... Maybe I'll give you the we're in the same tier option. No, I'm not going to do that. We'll do straight up better or worse if we played them. We got Red Hot Ice Cold. We got the drive of the game, helmet stickers, our Metro Ford of Madison college football scoreboard update. And then we will look ahead technically to the bye. We have an off week. And then it's Washington on November 8th at home. First takeaways, these dudes had motor. Like they wanted to go out there and compete. They had something to fight for. I do wonder where that came from. Did it come from the reassurance knowing... Hey, Fickell's our guy. Like, he got the vote of confidence from Chris McIntosh. We don't have to play out there timid, knowing we're one or two mistakes away from our head coach not having his job anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Did it come from Coach Lanning deciding to go onside kick at the beginning?
Yeah, firing him up.
Yeah, I made the comparison with you coming up the elevator going, okay, it feels like they're treating us like the little brother where you put the hand on the forehead and we don't have the wingspan to connect or retaliate. They did retaliate. They threw a couple jabs. Technically a haymaker on an underthrown ball in the form of a touchdown. But Riley, I'm at least impressed with the effort because there have been times out there where it feels like whether it's nerves, whether it's the situation being too big, whether it's unpreparedness, the moment being too big for them. At least here, they rose up to the moment. They got some help from Mother Nature, too. It was a sloppy game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm happy with how they played.
Yes, yeah. I totally agree. And we were talking about that all the way through the first and second quarters. And there's been a lot made. Even Tim Brando mentioned certain podcasters, quote unquote, on the broadcast who were bashing Fickell for in-state recruiting. He could have just said our guys, Brad Nortman, Jim Rutledge, potentially.
Drop the Twitter handle.
That's who he was referring to.
Yeah.
But obviously a lot this week and this season has been made of Luke Fickell's recruiting. And we are going to talk about the quarterback position because he might not be able to recruit a quarterback. But man, some of these freshman Fickell recruits were fantastic
Mason today. Posa today?
Mason Posa, Cooper Catalano, Gideon Atuka, Fickell guys that are young and look like building blocks.
Mm-hmm.
We heard a ton this offseason, starting with the running backs. Dylan Jones, Darion Dupree, how they were going to be the next great Badgers backs. That has not materialized whatsoever this year.
No.
But Gideon Atuka, man, he ran hard.
Yeah.
And the offensive line as well, seventh combination in eight games for the Badgers. That's absurd. They haven't been able to get their footing whatsoever this season. They played well. You didn't see Hunter Simmons under too much duress. Not that they threw the ball that often, but they were creating holes for the backs to run through. Atuka was running hard on the defensive side of the ball. Catalano, Posa were flying to the ball. Mason Reiger, not a fickle recruit, but a fickle transfer,
yep,
came in from Louisville. He was playing his butt off today, had the sack on the first drive of the game. These guys came out with an energy, a tenacity. So if you want to look for the positives today, and if you want to look for a reason why Fickell should continue coaching this football team, it was that right there. They are severely out-talented today, and they came out with a chip on their shoulder, ready to duke it out with the sixth-ranked team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And they, darn it, they played their asses off, which was more, so much more enjoyable to watch than what we've seen the past few weeks.
One of the best scoring offenses in the nation. I believe I heard them drop top 10 at the halftime show when it was 7-0 Oregon after they scored that late touchdown inside the two-minute timeout. That's
yes,
the terminology
yes,
they use.
Yeah.
And one of the best scoring defenses in Oregon. So, like, I wanted to use that Michigan game as a barometer of, I know it's in there. I know this team has the fight and the tenacity and the ability to, whether it be cover the spread or just keep it relatively competitive and keep the optics of this program okay. I knew they had that in them. Michigan hasn't really impressed me the last couple of weeks. This is a legitimate top 10 football team, and we made them play down and we played up to them.
Yeah, and Oregon, I mean, they have everything to lose.
Yep.
Here, they were coming off a bye week. Their last game was a loss at home to Indiana. It was their first home loss in I don't know how many games. I know it was a long home winning streak they had.
Yep.
But they lose to Indiana at home. Then they have a bye week. And then for Wisconsin to show up after Oregon is well rested, at home, ready to prove something after losing to a very, very good Indiana team, to come out with that kind of mettle, and they, when you don't score, it's hard to say they threw the first punch.
Yep.
But getting that turnover on downs right after the onside kick really felt like the first punch thrown in the game. And to come out and do that was awesome. It was great to see. And something, yeah, we haven't seen yet really this season. So it's just very, there hasn't been a lot to be optimistic about this season. That effort was something to be proud about and something to look kindly on in what has been a really rough season and what ended up still being a pretty rough game.
It truly felt like week after week for about the last month, we just kept getting lower. We'd use the term rock bottom and then go, oh, you proved me wrong. We're actually rock bottom.
Quarterback play somehow keeps going down.
That's bad.
Everything else I say hasn't, but quarterback play for sure.
That's been tough. But I remember not so long ago, Riley, the Maryland game where this team was down three possessions going into halftime. The chants were raining in, the Fire Fickell chants at Camp Randall. And we're looking at other, I don't want to say nobody teams, but lower tier teams keep up with top 10 powers and go, man, I just want to be in the fight against someone. We can't even beat Maryland right now, who ended up being decent so far. They've kind of come back down to earth. We got that today. Like, we genuinely got that. This team's playing up against a team that I would say is teetering around, you know, more likely than not to be in the CFP in some capacity.
Yeah.
And it was 0-0 with 2 minutes left in the first half. I believe you said it was Evan Flood on Twitter that said, oh, Wisconsin's winning 0-0 after 1 quarter.
Yes, after 1 quarter, Badgers lead Oregon 0-0.
That's what it felt like. Folks, if you are looking for a reliable roofing and home construction company in Wisconsin, look no further than Badgerland Exteriors. They are here to help. Residential and commercial, roofing, siding, and solar, Badgerland Exteriors has you covered. Visit badgerlandexteriors.com to get started on your next project. The offensive output before today was historically bad. After last week against Ohio State, which I had an interesting encounter with a couple of Ohio State fans in an elevator because I was in Columbus. We'll get to that in a moment. But after last week, the Badgers had been shut out in back-to-back weeks for the first time since 1977. We were a few minutes away from it being back-to-back-to-back weeks. I don't even want to roll back the history books and find out what the stat on that would have been. But before we go to break, the state of this program, I do think they took a step forward today.
Yep.
With the pieces that they have and the pieces that they have available to them healthy and out there on the field. I stepped into an elevator, and I went to Columbus, Ohio. So I actually went on the road.
While the Buckeyes came here.
So I went to a concert. Pablo Iglesias did a great job, more than just holding down the fort with you out there reacting.
We had a fun
game.
Show last week.
Yeah, it was a blast to listen to, right? I was making like the 6-hour drive out there. So I went to a concert, and while the game was going on, Ohio State's up 3-4 possessions at this point. I step into the elevator. I see a couple of Buckeyes fans. I am not wearing any Wisconsin stuff. I'm wearing whatever shirt I was going to wear to this concert. And unprompted, they start talking to me about the game. They're like, oh, Ohio State's looking pretty good. And I'm like, little do you know. I should have promoted the show.
Should actually tune into ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day postgame show. You know I'm the host.
But so we've got, elevator time, like 30 seconds before we go down to the bottom floor. And I go, I saw they were driving. What is it, 27-0? Is it 34-0 yet? They're like, yeah, they're driving. And then they, unprompted, without knowing I'm a Wisconsin fan and that I do this show, go, I feel bad for the Badgers, man. And I go, yeah, do tell. They've got it pretty rough. Tough losing streak. They go, yeah, I thought Fickell was the guy. They've got one of the toughest schedules in college football. I don't know if they're going to get another win this year. Obviously, today wouldn't be one of the games that you circle, but it just seems like they have reached rock bottom, kind of what we've been talking about here. And I don't know. Maybe they'll take one from Washington. And they start off the cuff, like diving into our schedule. My two takeaways from that, Riley, were A, you guys know ball. Like, for not following this team and just being another team in conference, I guess if you're rooting for the Natty Champs, you've got to be locked into college football, right? Mm. You have more investment, more of an incentive to follow it. But two, again, without them even knowing I was a Badgers fan, they weren't talking crap about the Badgers. They were just going, oh, I feel bad. I don't know when they're going to get a win again. That's kind of – they're not going in a good direction. And they love Luke Fickell over there.
I respect that. Yeah. They care for their own, for sure. And that actually – that reminds me of the Alabama fans I talked to down in Tuscaloosa. Like, they know football.
Yeah.
They know – they knew – the fans that I talked to knew Wisconsin inside and out when we came down to play them back when we thought Danny O'Neill was going to be the truth.
Oh, way back when.
Back when we thought we had some answer. Answer at quarterback, but we never have an answer at quarterback. That's
too much to ask
for another
apparently.
Segment.
Yeah.
but yeah, they know football. They care for their own and Luke Fickell. And yeah, no one. I thought Dan Lanning today was going to come out, and I don't think he respected Wisconsin, but there wasn't as much animosity towards Wisconsin as maybe I would have hoped after we kept it so close last season.
Yeah.
No one fears the Badgers for sure. No one respects the Badgers right now. Everyone just pities the Badgers. And that's how it is until they can put points on the board, put more points on the board, and take, even if it's not a game against Ohio State and Oregon, you got to win something. At this point, I feel like this season would be a success if you just beat Minnesota and get the axe. I talked – Owen Dimple, our producer, was talking about it earlier today during the game. I talked with, I believe, Hunter Vaughn about that yesterday. 3-9 and the axe feels like a rousing success for this team with how poorly this season has gone. And right now, the Badgers don't deserve anything other than pity.
Yeah.
Right now. It sucks. And there have been a lot of comments in the YouTube channel about how the team, they played for each other today. Parker Dutcher, I'm stealing that phrase from him.
Yep. And I believe they did.
Yes, they came out to play today. And they haven't, Fickell has not lost this locker room, which I think is a stark contrast to the past two seasons where it felt like, especially last season.
Felt like they were checked out.
A little bit the year before. But at least the guys on the field were dialed in today.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of guys, a lot of players on the injury report today.
Yes.
And that gives me pause. That makes me wonder if the coaching staff was like, hey, if you don't want to play, if you're banged up, and I don't want to assume anything, don't play.
Yep.
You're good. These guys want to play.
The guys that I am putting on the football field are going to play with their hair on fire.
Yes. And the guys that played today wanted to play.
Played with their hair.
They looked like they wanted to be Wisconsin Badgers. They were proud to carry that Motion W, which, despite the loss, I'd love to see.
And one of the big reasons for the loss is, of course, we're celebrating 7 points because we haven't scored in a while. We're going to talk about the onside kick a little bit more. What Dan Lanning doing that says about Oregon's respect or lack thereof of this offense, And we are going to have a Carter Smith conversation because there's already comments talking about his eligibility. Why would you burn the redshirt year? We will address that because they unlock something after the bye week against Washington if Wisconsin were to go in that direction. That is on the other end of the break. Taking your texts, taking your calls on 844-770-3776. That is the Cardless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line. List is more. We talk onside kick. We talk Carter Smith, maybe. Coming up next here on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.
Post-game reaction continues next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
And we welcome you back to ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light here on the ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels on 100.5 ESPN Madison and on the new customizable ESPN Wisconsin app. Have you been waiting to buy your next home? Well, stop. Now is the time to get housed because for over 30 years, Bruner Realty has been providing excellent real estate and property management services in the Madison area. Contact their team at BrunerRealtyInc.com to get started today. That's Bruner Realty, Inc. Go and get housed at Bruner Realty. Corey Sparks, Riley Yauch, Owen Dimple here with you in the Everlight Solar Studios. And we are reacting to the 21-7 loss in Eugene to Oregon, where Wisconsin put up their first touchdown in 15 quarters. Where's your banner? Where's
Let's
your
go.
Banner, Riley?
We're hanging
Show
the banner.
Banner.
We're hanging the banner. Scored a touchdown. Week 9, 2025. Hang it. It's going in the rafters of Camp Randall next to all the Rose Bowl appearances. We did it.
In the midst of your creation of that, it was so funny. You did a double take. You're like, Corey, is it week 9?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, it's
yeah.
week 9.
Is it really?
It's been a little bit.
It is sad, though, how quick this season's going. Yeah. Obviously, it's been, I was about to swear there, an atrocious.
I've gotten close to that a couple times on the show.
It's been a horrible, horrible, crappy season for the Badgers this year. But man, it's flying by, and I still don't want it to be over soon. Would I like to see a better product soon? Yes.
Yep.
But I have a, you know, as probably most of the 58 people watching on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, like just a toxic relationship with the Badgers where you keep getting your heart ripped out over and over and over again, but you still go back because you love them so much and you're just a fool in love.
I can fix
and
it.
And that's, yeah, exactly.
I could fix them.
That's all of us.
One of the reasons that the last few weeks has hurt so much has been the offense. The defense has been honestly, a bright spot. They were the, you know, put a little asterisk next to it, best rushing defense in college football going into the Michigan game. Obviously, there was not a ton of great competition going into that contest. But from a yards per carry perspective, they were doing great. Got a little torn up in the second half today. I love the push and the surge that we saw from that front line. I thought the boys in the trenches did a really good job on both sides of the ball. But I want to talk about the onside kick. Not only because I think that is so Dan Lanning, and you nailed it going into it. You're like, he's going to want to take it to us, and I think he did want to take it to us, and without much argument, really didn't take it to us. They won 31-point dogs. He didn't really take it to us today. But, Riley, that onside kick, let's go through the two outcomes. The first one that happened, they did it very well.
Yes.
They recovered it. The second outcome is one that I don't think Lanning and I don't think Oregon cared to risk. They didn't care that they were risking that outcome, and that's Wisconsin gets the football around midfield.
Yep.
They are saying at the time, you have not scored a touchdown in 11 quarters. I dare you to get 20 yards here. I dare you to get 50 yards here. I dare you to score after getting shut out in back-to-back games for the first time since 1977. They did that because they knew even if that went wrong, more times than not, the onside kick goes wrong, even when the other team doesn't expect it. It is such a hard play to execute. Mm-hmm. They knew, worst-case scenario, Wisconsin was not going to score.
Yeah.
That's why they did that.
Yeah.
That's sad.
You nailed it. You hit the nail on the head.
That's sad.
And we talked about respect last segment. And I honestly, now thinking about it as a whole, is there a ton of respect for the team? Not really. Is there respect for the Badgers' defense? Yes, I believe. Is there any respect whatsoever for this Wisconsin offense? No.
No.
There is zero respect for the offense. And you know why? It's because of one man. And his name is Hunter Simmons. Hunter Simmons.
I'm sure he's a great guy.
I'm sure he's a great guy. He is a disgrace to the position of quarterback.
That's something you say, by the way, when someone's not a great athlete. You go to their personality and you go, I'm sure he's awesome.
Yeah, I'm
true,
sure.
I'd get a beer with
I'm
him.
I'm sure he's very nice.
I'd get a Coors Light with him.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'd love to hang out with them.
Yep.
But golly, I do not want him quarterbacking the Wisconsin Badgers. 7 for 21, 86 yards, a touchdown, a pick, a completion percentage of 33%. And that's honestly a lot better than it looked like.
He ended strong.
The stat line was going to look. He was 1 for 13 with 12 yards.
And he wasn't throwing the ball on the field.
At one point. Yeah, these weren't hard passes. Everything was a tick off, a tick high, a tick behind. Exactly.
Yep.
Nothing was dialed in, and I get it's wet, but Dante Moore completed 9 of 15. Brock Thomas,
the backup,
went 4 for 4, and he made some tougher throws. Did he get bailed out on the one that went right through Emilio Agard's hands? Yes. But that's Wisconsin.
Make a play, man.
That's Wisconsin in a nutshell this season. I don't need to get into that. But when you have as many incompletions as passing yards, that is a major problem.
Get up. Get off the field.
That cannot happen.
Yeah.
This is a Big Ten football team.
It's horrible. And, yeah.
Give me any other quarterback in the country right now, and I'd be more confident. Give me Braden Locke again.
Yeah.
I think we drew the line. Maybe Metoyer. No.
Metoyer is I'm good.
I don't want.
I saw one Sam Houston low light earlier, and I said, "Yeah, it's all right. You go have fun over there with Philongo."
Yeah. We're good.
Yeah,
but
don't need to go there. But there's
looked,
a lot of QB. There's over 100. That
yes,
I take.
And
yeah.
let's just look at the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. I did a little research. Who's right at the bottom, right in the cellar with Wisconsin right now at the bottom of the Big Ten? Purdue.
Yep.
Also 0-5. In the Big Ten. So I'm like, okay, who's their quarterback? Their quarterback probably sucks too, even though Purdue is hanging around with teams better than Wisconsin has this season. So Hunter Simmons, let's take a look at his stats first before we go to unnamed Purdue quarterback. Hunter Simmons in one season at Wisconsin coming into today. This is not counting his masterclass of 86 yards and 7 completions with a TD and a pick. Coming into today, had 383 yards, 1 touchdown, 4 interceptions, with a completion percentage of 54.9.
And that went down today.
Yes, it did, by a lot. 39 for 71. He's now at, 46 of 92?
Yeah.
That's stellar. He's now...
It's good math by you.
Thank you. Thank you. Like, right at 50%.
Yep.
Now let's take a look at Ryan Brown, the quarterback for the Purdue Boilermakers. This is his third season at Purdue. He's a redshirt sophomore. Hunter Simmons, a redshirt senior, by the way, for context. In 7 games as Purdue's starter, he has 1,500 yards, 7 touchdowns, 7 interceptions as well, completion percentage of about 60%.
That's literally Braden Locke.
Is that good?
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you said, Braden Locke, 50-50, just over, I guess, 60% is a little better
than
Locke.
He was like in the mid-50s last year, if I remember
yes,
right.
Yes, but touchdown-interception ratio, about 50%.
Yep.
He's had 2 games this season throwing over 300 yards. Like, and give us Ryan Brown, and the Badgers, at the bare minimum, are right in this game.
They might have won the game.
And they might have won.
Yeah.
Like, that is just the dregs that Wisconsin is at right now, the dire situation Wisconsin is in at quarterback right now. Anyone, and I mean just about anyone, would give Wisconsin a better chance to win right now than Hunter Simmons. And that includes Danny O'Neill. We had a question from one of the YouTube commenters asking if there's been an injury. And from what I have gathered going to Fickell's press conferences, someone asks about the quarterback situation every week. He says he never names a starter at the start of the week. He just says Billy isn't available and that there's going to be a competition. Carter Smith has a shot. Danny O'Neill has a shot. Hunter Simmons has a shot. Never says anything. And usually the starting quarterback appears at player availability on Tuesday.
Yeah.
The past 3 weeks, we have not gotten a quarterback at player availability. So it seems like it's an open competition. And how in God's name does Hunter Simmons win the weekly competition or gets the most reps at QB1 is beyond me.
That's actually, if that is truly the approach they are going with, that might be the most baffling part of what we saw today. That's the guy who won through reps. over practice, not Yamamoto, who's on the screen.
I was like, oh, is he on the TV
right now?
No,
I bet he could sling the pill.
Yoshinobu Yamamoto!
Would he be the guy that...
Look at how hard he can throw. He can throw.
He can indeed throw. 844-770-3776. Would another Big Ten quarterback, any other starting Big Ten quarterback right now, slot in and give the Badgers a decent chance to win this game? We do want to hear from you. That is 844-770-3776. The Carbless ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line lists is more. Quickly before we go to break, it is becoming very clear that we are sick of Hunter Simmons. I'm sure he's a great guy.
Yes.
This is no indictment on the person. This is simply someone who played for the Salukis for a couple of years and played for the Salukis for about 160 passing attempts. This is not even an everyday starter. This is not even one of those. I mean, they're Division I. Sometimes there's those Division II quarterbacks who get a lot of reps, and they go up, and it's, he's thrown the ball like 1,000 times, so you got a decent amount of reps in there at the college football level. He hasn't played a lot of college football.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like this is a Mark Gronowski Iowa situation.
No, so I am now ready, and I saw a couple of comments on this, so I'll explain the whole thing. I'm ready for Carter Smith. I want him 2 weeks from now to be starting against Washington after the bye. Three reasons I think it's a good idea. One, eligibility. Student athletes, as of 2018, can participate in up to four games. There are four games left now in the regular season without burning their red shirt for the season. He would not lose his eligibility if he played the rest of the year now. He's right inside that sweet spot. Number two, he gets the bye week to prepare, plenty of time to dive into film, and much like the Michigan game, Luke Fickell does not have to disclose that information until literally 90 minutes before. He can say what he wants at media availability. Mm-hmm. You can start to pick up the little Easter eggs in practice. Oh, I've noticed Carter Smith's getting a little more one reps, but he does not have to tell anyone, and Smith gets literally two full weeks starting right tonight if he wants to dive into Washington film to prepare for that game. Three, our producer Owen Dimfel brought this up. It's a home game. You're not tossing him into the big house. You're not tossing him into like an Ohio State or an Indiana, and you're not fully shell-shocking him against one of those powers. Washington's a lot better than I thought they were going to be this year. When we were playing the schedule game preseason, I was like, that might be one of the six or seven. Again, oh, those were the days. I think this is a great opportunity to plop him in and say, let's see what the kid can do. We're not burning his eligibility. He gets plenty of time to prepare. It's at home, and it's still quite the gauntlet the rest of the way. It's one of the easier, more gettable opponents, if there are any left, for him to go out there and get some valuable reps.
Yeah, totally agree. And then
I'm ready, Riley.
Yes, and your away games are at Indiana. That you're going
to shell shock him.
That's going to be a bloodbath.
Yep.
Okay. Have him take his lumps, but then home, like you said, home against Illinois, and then you get to end the season at Minnesota, probably the least intimidating environment. Mm-hmm. In the Big Ten, TCF Bank Stadium. Minnesota sucks.
They look bad today.
They're just Wisconsin with an easy schedule. Credit to Dr. Marte for that take. They're just Wisconsin with an easy schedule. Like, the axe is as good as ours, I would say. They got absolutely shellacked by Iowa today, 41-3. Exactly. Look at some common opponents. They lost to Iowa, or they lost to Ohio State. Yep. I think also same score, 41-3. And then Iowa, 41-3. And then you look at Wisconsin, 34-0, 37-0. I'm just saying, Wisconsin a couple points better than Minnesota. Carter Smith, he'll have figured out the offense by that point.
I will take a Carter Smith-led offense if he is everything he's supposed to be as a four-star recruit against Minnesota.
Let him make those freshman mistakes this season.
Slow leverage.
Bring him into next year. And if he shows that effort, those flashes that we've seen from a Cooper Catalano, that we've seen from a Mason Posa, that we've seen from a Gideon Atuka, Badgers fans, even a 3-9 season with the axe, there's a little bit of hope.
We can salvage something.
There's something.
Yeah.
There's something
split
there.
Split the rivalry games, baby, and get Carter Smith out there. Again, eligibility, it would work out just fine that way. He would be inside the four-game parameter that the NCAA, the Division I committee, actually set in 2018.
Yeah, and it can't be worse than what we've seen.
But there's a low-risk environment. Just do it against Washington. I just want to see something. It literally can't be worse, and I'm going to throw that out there again. We've done that a few times this year, and it's gotten worse in various disciplines, but I'm going to take that risk again. Folks, Canopy Wealth Management carries a longstanding tradition of working in the best interest of their clients every single day. The team at Canopy emphasizes building local relationships and believes that values matter and strengthen their communities. At Canopy, it's care, competence, and clarity. That's not just a tagline. It is a promise. Go to canopy-wealth.com to get started today. Do you want to see Carter Smith, now knowing what I just said, 2 weeks from now against Washington. 844-770-3776 is the Cardless ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. When we come back, does Braden Locke win this football game today? That's going to be a fun conversation. We can't wait to have it. This is the ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day postgame show, brewed by Coors Light.
Postgame reaction continues next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
Oregon takes this matchup against Wisconsin. The Ducks, number 6 in the country, improved to 7-1, 4-1 in the Big Ten. Wisconsin falls to 2-6. That is 6 losses in a row. 0-5 in the Big Ten, but they were close. They were close throughout the entirety of the first half. Oregon then scored a couple of touchdowns in a row, put the game out of reach, at least with the offense Wisconsin is currently operating with. We got a touchdown at the end there, which was nice to see because it's been a little while since we've seen that. Corey Sparks, Riley Alk here with you in the Everlight Solar Studios, reminding you that with Celebrations Entertainment, planning events has never been easier. They have complete event services for weddings, corporate events, nonprofit events, outdoor movies, casino nights, and much more fun. Visit CelebrationsEntertainment.com to get started today. Celebrations Entertainment, that's fun, memorable events for you and your group. 844-770-3776 is the Cardless ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. We have our buddy Eric in Green Bay on the line. Eric, how are you today?
Doing well, things considered. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. I'm happy with what I saw. How are you feeling about the game as a whole? I know it's a loss. I know the whole moral victories thing, but Wisconsin hung in there today, man.
Yeah, I think I used the term whelmed earlier in the year, and it's kind of one of those things. Like I was reflecting about with the Oregon game last year when they were ranked number one coming into Camp Randall, and at that point we lived in the fallacy that like our floor was like a 6-win team, like right, we hadn't lost a bowl streak yet.
Yeah,
and I remember that fourth down conversion that Dylan Gabriel had, kind of rolling to his left, and that was one of those like I was losing sleep just thinking about like what if we made one of these 3 or 4 plays, like that game was there against the number one team in the country, and like what that could have meant for the program as far as like a statement win. And now, you know, we're happy covering the spread against Oregon on a rainy day. So just wild what a year makes. So I kind of wanted to weigh in on the Carter Smith thing, and I guess maybe for the point of conversation, because I had been asked this a lot too. And as far as like why you wouldn't play him at this point in time, and I still think you should, but looking at this team and with Billy Edwards, possibly I don't want to just make the assumption that he's not good. You know, like health wise, is he just kind of holding out, getting ready to transfer, and you know, saving his eligibility?
It has that feeling.
Don't really
to it.
Know what's going on with like it's the situation that you guys alluded to. It's perplexing. Like, obviously, if we're seeing the film that Hunter Simmons is putting out there, okay, why wouldn't you try Daniel Neal after halftime, despite what you may see in practice? Like, is there more going on there? And it seems like this quarterback room right now is so fragile. My fear is that if you put out Carter Smith with the situation that we currently have out there in 2025, and, you know, he puts up Hunter Simmons-esque performances, you know, do other teams then try to poach him? It's tricky because if you don't play him, right, then he might look elsewhere too. But if he kind of stinks it up in Wisconsin and then someone, you know, another program comes calling and says, this is what your future is in the Fickell era, you know, we'll offer you this much in NIL and get out of there. I'm at this point too. I'm afraid of just breaking the guy. Because I don't see how anybody can have success, let alone a true freshman right now. So I still think it's worth the risk. I think you got to put him in there, but wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I think it's definitely worth the risk too, and I'm almost worried about the opposite.
He does too good.
That he does very well, and then maybe they beat Minnesota. They win the Axe, they go 3-9, and then another school, because he was committed to Michigan until Bryce Underwood came, a bigger SEC, Big Ten school is like, hey, we know you have the talent. You don't want to be in that situation with a coach who may get fired, who people don't like, in a stadium that doesn't get filled up anymore. You're too good for that program. Let's come get you out. I'd say that's my biggest worry with playing Carter Smith the last four games, that he does too well. And we had a YouTube commenter bring this up, Parker Dutcher. The banged up O-line. This is their seventh combination in eight games. They played well today, but you get them back there, and Billy's been hurt. Danny O'Neill was hurt at one point this season. Don't know his status injury-wise right now. But then you get him banged up, and you needlessly sort of hinder his career. Say he tears an ACL or something that he's got to recover all offseason, not ready for next year to play. That would be worry number two. I don't think you can really take that into consideration because every quarterback's gotten hurt. It doesn't matter who the offensive line is the past three seasons. The quarterback just gets hurt. So I don't think you can go into it with that mindset. But I'm on the flip side. Those are my concerns right now with the Badgers starting Carter Smith the last 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only concern for me, though, too, is like if he was QB4 to start the year, and I know some of the comments that Stick and Company are making in the offseason were that he was just kind of having a Carter Smith was having a slower time adjusting and kind of get like at the same time it's like how has he not even gotten to the level of QB3 on the depth chart coming into this point unless they were really just shooting for, you know, red shirt or nothing. But I agree. You can't. It's an unfortunate era of college football where you're worried like if a player doesn't play enough or does poorly, he's going to leave. If he does do good, he's going to leave. And unfortunately, right now, I don't know if it's training staff or coaching decisions or what. But obviously, with twice putting Billy Edwards out there with a suspect knee, Van Dyke last year getting hurt wearing a brace too. You got to wonder if teams do come, you know, try and poach any quarterback from the team eventually. Like, is that something they're saying? Is like they don't know how to look after your health. Maybe it's not intentional. It can't be intentional, but they're just doing such a bad job with that.
Look at Brady Collins, the strength and conditioning coach. We did talk about him a little bit last week. Like, at what point when you have 15, I think they may have had over 20 guys on the injury report today. It was ridiculous where that's a serious problem. And yeah, just the transactional nature of college football now. Nick Saban had a really good diatribe on it this morning on College Game Day about how that has changed college football. It's scary. It's a risk. But right now, Fickell and company, they have absolutely nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And everything to gain, as in saving his job, saving all of their jobs. All these guys are tied to Fickell.
Keeping guys in Wisconsin, even if he ends up doing well, right?
Yes, and getting, like having the building blocks for the future. Saving his job and potentially building Wisconsin back to what it was and hopefully a little bit better. So I think it's a risk you just have to take.
Absolutely. Eric, thank you so much for the call, brother.
You bet. Take care.
All right. Awesome stuff. I do want to hear more from you guys. 844-770-3776 is the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line. List is more. That's another conversation. What are the pros and what are the cons of putting Carter Smith out there? My main con that was in the back of my head is you're never wasting eligibility with reps.
Yes,
but if you're around that 5-6-game scenario where the season is all but lost from making a bowl or making a run to the CFP perspective, which obviously has been out of the realm of possibility for a little bit here.
I'd love to get back in those conversations.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Just get some ranked votes, man, and work your way up from there. But for Carter Smith, you truly do have that nice little sweet spot where you got a couple of games coming up. Some are gettable, some are not, where he can put some good tape out there. And it's weird to hope for this, but Riley, I don't know where you're at on this before we go to break. I am almost hoping if we put Carter Smith in there against Washington for four games, he makes enough mistakes that schools aren't picking up the phone going, he's ready, plug him in.
Yep.
But he also shows enough promise that us Wisconsin fans can go, there's something there. No offense to Hunter Simmons, we've seen what we need to see. Yep. Right, his college career is on the, it's basically the sun is setting on his college career. He's coming towards the end of his eligibility and all of that, and he's a redshirt senior. For Carter Smith, you want to see those flashes where you go, ooh, get him developed, get him a firm offensive line that hopefully we aren't having the injuries we've had this year, and get him in sync with a few wide receivers, a good run game to complement, build that play action up from there, whatever Tressel wants to do. But if I'm a Wisconsin fan and I see Carter Smith out there, I want to see the flashes, but don't go light the world on fire because people will come calling.
Yeah, and I don't know if Wisconsin won. I know Chris McIntosh said he's going to invest more money into the football program.
We don't know how much.
But it's certainly not a guarantee that if he lights the world on fire, like you said, that Wisconsin can afford him.
Yeah.
In the future, but right now, that is best case scenario for Carter Smith. Like you said, want to see those flashes, just want to see something. And and the confidence, the drive, the tenacity that we saw from a lot of the young guys today, even if he struggles, if he can stand tall figuratively and not let the moments rattle him, where we see enough, like this could be a future leader in the clubhouse, a future leader of this team, a building block, like we've said so many times tonight. That's what I want to see.
Real quick answer from you. Does Braden Locke win this football game today?
It's a great question, Corey. No, I don't think he does. I think he
are
makes,
we in it? More
I think
in
we're
it?
In it. Yeah. I think maybe it's 21-14. It's similar to last season.
Yeah.
A very similar game to last season where one too many Braden Locke mistakes sink the Badgers. But okay. I think he would have also had more big moments, or at least serviceable moments, where they would have drove the ball down the field and scored a few more times.
He would have taken some shots. I like that take. You've got a final drive where you can tie it or win the game, and he made enough mistakes to where I think it's fair to be skeptical that he would go down and execute and pull off the colossal upset that we've been looking for the past few years. You mentioned NIL. You mentioned saving money. He might become more expensive. Folks, you at home can save money and save the planet by ditching the energy bill and making the switch over to Everlight Solar. They are your local solar energy company based in Madison. Visit EverlightSolar.com to learn more and make the switch today. Everlight Solar, a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Let's play a game when we come back. It's called Better Than Bucky. I have picked out four different college football teams that I believe are around the same tier as Wisconsin in this state, with four games to go in the 2025 season. You could play with us on the other end of the break. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.
Post-game reaction continues next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
Takes down Wisconsin. The Badgers fall to 2-6, but a lot of positives to draw away from today's performance. Corey Sparks, Riley Yauch here with you in the Everlight Solar Studios at 100.5 ESPN Madison. We are also live on the ESPN Madison and Milwaukee YouTube channels and on the ESPN Wisconsin app. 844-770-3776 is the cardless ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. Liss is more. Riley, we have a new game today, but first, you could play a lot of fun games at Ho-Chunk Gaming in Madison. That's where winners go. That is Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, the casino with the highest payouts in the area. Go be a winner at Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. They're open right now, and they stay open until 2 a.m. on a Monday. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, more spins, more wins, more fun.
Go hit that video blackjack.
Yeah, there we go. That's probably
win some
my favorite.
Money tonight.
That's probably my favorite.
I like video blackjack. It screws me over every time.
You at least feel like you have control, though? Like, all right, I'll hit.
Yeah, there's a tiny bit. You're guaranteed to lose. But there's like that little bit of hope, which keeps you playing. That's gambling.
There we go.
Anyways, continue.
The Badgers gave us a little bit of hope
today.
They did. So we are going to play a game. I was thinking of this before the game started. I was like, you know, if the Badgers pull off the upset, I throw this guy out the window. And that wasn't out of the realm of possibility for a couple of quarters
It was a fun thought through almost a half of football. It was really fun.
But because Dan Lanning and his squad decided to go out there with an opening onside kick that was successful, went out and beat the Badgers 21-7. And the Badgers are now 2-6. We are going to play a game called Better Than Bucky. So I went around college football, Riley, and I picked four different teams, various conferences, various forms of college football, and you're going to tell me whether you think they're better or worse than Wisconsin. You don't know who these teams are, so I'll give you the spark notes on them, if you will. We begin with Montana State. 5-2 entering today.
Ooh, that's a good one.
FCS power. Everything has a relation to Wisconsin. Here's this one. 27.5-point dogs against Oregon. The line closed at 31.5-point dogs for Wisconsin against Oregon today. Montana State did lose 59-13 to the Ducks earlier this season. Better or worse than Bucky? Montana State.
Yeah, I know Montana State, one of the best in the FCS. I highly respect the FCS. I love that mountainous region, that Rocky Mountain region of football. You got the Grizz, you got the Bobcats, you got North Dakota, mm-hmm. you got South Dakota State. Mm-hmm. There was the marker game
yes.
today between NDSU and SDSU. Love that.
Big rivalry.
However, I still don't think Montana State is better than Wisconsin. I think the talent would out in that game, and I think it might be similar to Wisconsin versus Miami of Ohio. Mm-hmm. It might be a 17-0 type game where it's close in the second half, but I don't see the Bobcats beating the Badgers. Give me one for the Badgers.
All right. So they are not better than Bucky. It's funny you mentioned Miami of Ohio because this next team has a connection to them. We go to the FBS. Ohio, the Bobcats, 5-2 overall, 3-1 in the MAC. If you remember Miami of Ohio from week one, which clearly you do.
I do.
They were the 2024 MAC runners-up to the Ohio Bobcats. Strong, strong performance from this team, especially in their own postseason bracket. Ohio, better or worse than Bucky?
It's tough. Is it more difficult? I know Ohio, I would certainly rather have Ohio's quarterback
mm-hmm.
than Hunter Simmons right now. I forget his name. I remember Timothy Chalamet made a big deal about the quarterback for the Ohio Bobcats yep. ahead of the MAC championship game last season. I need to look up his name, and maybe I'll do that while you tell me about the next team. However, I still think Wisconsin is better than every team in the MAC. Would they struggle with some teams in the MAC if they played a MAC schedule? Would they go undefeated this season? Probably not. But as a whole, this squad, even with all the injuries, I still think is able, even with Hunter Simmons, is able to get the job done against the Bobcats.
So remember
the
that.
The second Bobcats.
Yes. Remember that thing I told you about everybody has a Wisconsin connection that I
yes.
had on this list? So I broke my rule once. This team does not, but I think they're fun. North okay. Carolina, the Fighting Bill Belichicks. 2-5 this season, 0-3. Now we're in group of four football.
Yep.
0-3 in ACC play. They did take the 16th overall Virginia Cavaliers to overtime today. Lost 17-16 ultimately. The Tar Heels. Better than Bucky?
That's a good one. That's a good one. And Parker Navarro is the quarterback for the Ohio Bobcats. Yep. I wish we had Parker Navarro right now.
That would be nice.
Man, I think that would be a rock fight. UNC, this is one of the...
This is neutral playing field, by the way. I should have said that. Nobody gets the home game. So take that out of the way. In a vacuum.
Yeah. North Carolina and Wisconsin are very equivalent this season. And I would say, college football-wise, North Carolina might be one of the only Power Four schools with unequivocally worse coaching
yeah.
than Wisconsin,
or rough.
Has shown worse coaching than Wisconsin this year.
This one's tough.
This one's hard.
I don't know what my answer would be.
This one's hard. I think this might just be my bias showing through. This could just be my bias. But I still think Wisconsin can win. I understand UNC played Virginia tough today, but Wisconsin played Oregon tough.
Yep.
Anyone can get up for one of these big games. Man, on a neutral site, though. Like, the way Wisconsin has been playing teams that are at its level, I don't think North Carolina is a better team than Wisconsin. But do they win a game
yep.
on a neutral site this season? They probably do. So that was totally a hedge by me.
Good. Next, West Virginia, 2-6 overall, 0-5 in their conference, the Big 12. 37-24 loss to number 11 BYU. Here's the Wisconsin connection, bit of a stretch. Remember that Ohio Bobcats team I just brought up?
Mm-hmm.
West Virginia fell to them 17-10 in early September.
Wow.
Obviously, the Bobcats beat Miami, Ohio. There's your transitive property extended. 41-10 loss to the Fighting Lance Leipolds, former Wisconsin Whitewater Warhawks head coach earlier this season. West Virginia, 2-6, 0-5 in conference. Better than Bucky?
No,
or worse?
No, they're not better than Bucky.
So.
Lance Leipold in Kansas lost bad. They lost big today to a pretty mediocre Kansas State team, which may quell some of the Badgers fans clamoring for Lance Leipold to come take Luke Fickell's job. And West Virginia, I know this is one of the few programs where I know they're also having a lot of NIL issues right now. There are a lot of players. I think Pat McAfee talked about it this morning on College Game Day
yep.
about how West Virginia, a donor backed out because he didn't want to pay for players who already had 1 foot out the door. I think the roster that the Badgers put on the field today is they don't have 1 foot out the door. They're 2 shoes in. They're 10 toes down. And they would be, they are better than the West Virginia Mountaineers.
Okay, so 4-0 against these teams. I did not do a great. These are close, but I didn't find anyone who's better.
No, they're not bad. Okay. They're close. Whoa, I knocked my headset off.
I have one more for you.
Yes.
Minnesota.
No.
Enough said.
Not even close.
3-2 in the Big Ten.
They have a better record than Wisconsin. They beat Nebraska. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
The Nebraska win was a good win.
Game
for Minnesota.
Iowa was not.
But then they got pasted today by the Hawkeyes. So they're certainly not better than Bucky, that's for sure. And what it doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter what I say right now.
Yeah.
It's going to come down to the day after Thanksgiving when the Badgers head to TCF Bank Stadium and finally put together a complete game performance and destroy the Minnesota Golden Gophers. It's going to be satisfying.
There we go.
It's going to be satisfying.
If it's 3-9, let that be the 3. All right, that is better than Bucky. We'll see if we bring that back. If Wisconsin changes our perception of where they are in the college football landscape, I'll bring it back. If they are where we think they are right now for the rest of the year, probably no point in doing so. We do want to give you a heads up that our friends at Liberty Station are running a game day shuttle program during home games this football season. You can still take advantage of this for just $20. Get a Coors Light and a round-trip ride to Camp Randall. It all starts at Liberty Station American Tavern and Smokehouse located off the Beltline on Rim Rock Road. When we come back, we begin the second hour of the ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day postgame show, and we will begin it with Red Hot Ice Cold here on ESPN Wisconsin.
Post-game reaction continues next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.